Yeah, I heard there was some issues. I was going to blow off the
We're going to
Okay, if I can have everybody's attention, we'll get started. I'd like to welcome everybody at this point to the Active Transportation Committee meeting for Wednesday, January 10. It's just a little bit past 8:45 a.m. And my name is Jeff Silvestrina. I'm the mayor of Mill Creek. Mayor Caldwell asked that I chair this committee on an interim basis, so I'm happy to accept that assignment for today. And I'd like to welcome everybody. We have we're doing introductions. And we have a number of new members who haven't been a member or been in this committee before. So as we go around the room, I'd just like to ask if you're new here, to make sure you tell us who you are, where you're from, but also give us some idea of your interest in this committee. That'd be a start. So I'm going to start at the table up over here.
Brett Mackett, I'm with the Utah Department of Health, and I work with local health departments to support the health angle when it comes to active transportation.
I'm Heidi Goodhart with UDOT Planning. I do all of the active transportation planning for the state, and I run a program called Move Utah, which you'll get a presentation on today.
George Daenerys, Salt Lake County. I've been the past engineer implementation for active transportation, both the countywide program and for the municipalities, EMSD.
I'm Katie Gerard, Wasatch Front Staff. I assist with the Active Transportation Committee.
I'm Michelle Weeks with Draper City Council. And Draper City is very interested in a lot of trails, and we would like to make sure that we're connected to other cities and make sure our biking paths connect to other cities.
Brett Milburn, Davis County, and then also Vice Chair for Wasatch Front Regional Council. And love to be active and outdoors, and wish I was out on a bike somewhere right now.
In the rain?
No, yeah. Somewhere like that. I'd take Southern Utah.
Tahiti, yeah. Tahiti.
My name is Richard Heyer. I'm on the council in Ogden City. Of course, Mayor Caldwell, he's our mayor, and he drives a lot on the idea that our population is going to expand by double in the next 30 years, and so we need to do our transportation model smart, and so that's why I'm here.
I'm Andrew Gruber. I'm the executive director here at WFRC, so I keep the trains running on time, or the bicycles moving on time, and we're really thrilled to have all of you here, our long-standing members and our new members. Thank you very much.
So I'm Jeff Silvestrini, Mayor of Mill Creek. Mill Creek is an active community with access to the mountains and runs all the way to the Jordan River. And I know that my residents are interested in active transportation and improving our bicycle system.
I'm Scott Hess. I'm the staff lead with Wasatch Front Regional Council for this active transportation committee.
Jory Johnner, Wasatch Front Regional Council, the Long Range Planning Group Manager.
I'm Jenny Wilson. I'm a member of the Salt Lake County Council, and I'm returning to this committee, and I just want to do a shout out to the staff and team and previous leadership. We've come a long way with this group, so I'm optimistic about 2018 and what we can accomplish.
Phil Sarnoff with Bike Utah. Bike Utah is the statewide nonprofit bike advocacy organization.
I'm Joe Taylor. I'm an active transportation planner at UTA, and I'm interested in active transportation as it connects to transit.
I'm Kelly Jones. I'm with UDOT Region 2 Traffic Engineering, and I handle the active transportation for Region 2.
I'm Evan Curtis. I'm the State Planning Coordinator with the Governor's Office of Management and Budget, and it's been impressive to see how active transportation is not only staying in the realm of local government, but state government is also really noticing how important it is, as not only for recreation, but as a transportation solution for improving health and also improving air quality. So this group is doing great work.
Great. I'm here today representing Will Summercorn, as well as myself, Program Manager for Transportation for the Office of Transportation, Housing, and Economic Development. And I'm pretty excited because I gave about $2 million out for active transportation project construction this year. So I'm all over active transportation. And I'm a bit like Brett, I'd like to be out on my bike too.
And your name is Helen Peters.
Did I forget?
We know who you are.
Thank you.
I'm Joe Shoblum. I'm the mayor of South Weber City, and I'd really like to see the Weber River Trail hook up with the Bonneville Shoreline Trail through South Weber.
Yes, you're here.
Becca Rolfe, Salt Lake City Transportation. I'm the bicycle pedestrian coordinator. Certainly have attended this meeting before, but I will now be representing Salt Lake City as staff, that is. And so instead of Dan Bergenthal attending. But I sit right next to Dan, so if you ever have any questions for Dan, you can always pass this to me.
I'm Laura Hansen. I'm the director of planning at the Utah Transit Authority, and we recognize that all of our transit riders use other modes as well, including walking and biking. So we're excited to be part of this group and help connect folks to the transit system.
Well, I'm Lawrence Flinton, the mayor of Uinta City. Along with South Weber, we are engaged in trying to figure out how to link the Bonneville Shoreline Trail through Uinta and possibly through South Weber City.
Thank you. Let's continue with the back over here.
Kim Clausen, Tivoli County Health. I'm here with trying to get active transportation plans into Tivoli County. We would like to hook up to the rest of you someday, so trying to get that going.
Dave Elpis with Cycling Utah Magazine. I've been a bike advocate for 26 years in the Valley and working to promote cycling in all forms.
Kim Clark, BIA Consulting, working on the Move Utah program.
Jim Price, the Mountain Land Association of Governments, trying to figure out what active transportation really is.
Will Becker with Green Bike, for your Salt City's nonprofit bike share program, and working with this group for a long time, and I've been a beneficiary of some of the active transportation dollars.
Tim Marks, I'm hiding behind Jim. I'm with Borax Engineers, been active in the Green Bike program, and we're very interested in all active transportation.
Al Troy, Wasatch Front Regional Council staff, transportation and land use planner. We help fund some planning projects for AT related projects. We'll give a short presentation today, so.
Roger Borunek with Utahns for Better Transportation, and we've been working to promote active transportation, transit, and better air quality in the area.
Brian Moore with the Riverton City Engineering Department, just trying to keep Riverton involved in the process.
Stephanie Tomlin with Darren Pierce Transportation Consultants, and the active transportation coordinator for our office.
Ned Hacker with the Wasatch Front Regional Council staff, but I'm the Director of Operations.
Mark Benigni for Beaver Pathways. So we're a nonprofit in Beaver County and Mary's Davis County that works to connect the Beaver River Parkway to the Bonneville Shoreline Trail.
Dave Foster, Salt Lake City Office Manager of Health Planning and Design for the industry and foreign projects.
Meredith Jacobson, I'm a Wasatch Front Regional Council planning intern. This is my first ATC meeting I've attended, so I'm excited to be here. I'm Callie Neal, transit planner for Wasatch Front Regional Council.
I'm Steve Call, Federal Highway Administration. Hiding behind Callie here. I'm the planning and program in the Weaver Town.
Roland Stanger, Federal Highway Administration. Operations and safety.
I'm Emily Boyling with the Salt Lake County Health Department. Us three work on active transportation efforts and kind of connecting that to the health of the community.
Sarah Truss is Salt Lake County Health Department and the team of Emily, but also focusing on bicycle and pedestrian safety.
Kathy Delphi, Salt Lake County Health Department. What's her name?
Thank you. And back over here.
Good morning, I'm Ted Knowlton. I'm the Deputy Director here at Wasatch Front Regional Council. It's great to see both familiar and new faces here today.
Megan Townsend, Wasatch Front Regional Council staff.
I'm Richard Miller. I'm a project manager with UTA. I'm in their capital development department.
Councilman Ballantyne, you want to?
Sure, I'm Ballantyne. I'm representing Warren County. My day job, I'm a project manager of UDOT in Region 1.
Thank you. Do we have anybody on the phone?
Yeah, so I'm Travis Olson. I'm a health educator at Weber Morgan Health Department. So working on the same things as Tooele County Health Department and Salt Lake County Health Department.
Thanks, Travis. Anybody else? Okay, I guess not. So I welcome everybody, and let's get started. So we have action on our minutes. We have minutes for the October 11 meeting that circulated. Are there any comments on those? We have a couple of other people who want to meet. You want to make introductions as you walk in, gentlemen?
Yeah. Jeff and Barry.
Jeff Euler, Davis County.
Barry Burton, Davis County.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. So are there any comments or is there a motion on the minutes?
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, we have motion and second on the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. Thank you. So do we have anyone who would like to make public comment to the committee? Why don't you come forward and give us your identification at the mic, please.
My name is Dave Eltis. I'm with Cycling Utah. Wanted to bring up four instances where UDOT could do a lot better on some current projects. State Street, my understanding is that with the State Street Life on State study, they're looking to shift bike traffic off of State Street, yet State Street is a major destination for bicycle riders, and it's not particularly safe right now at all. Second one is Highway 89 from Fruit Heights to South, to South Ogden, that project where they're trying to make that a freeway. The EIS doesn't really do justice to the importance of that route for bicycling, and the whole study seems to only vaguely mention where bikes might go if this highway goes in. It really gives a short shrift to the importance of that, both as a commuter and recreational route. Third one is the Redwood Road West Side connectivity study, which is talking about, again, moving bikes off of Redwood Road to, farther west of Redwood Road. And for the same reasons, cars don't tend to want to go 10 blocks out of their way. Bikes don't need to go 10 blocks out of their way either. The fourth one is the repaving of North Campus Drive in that's going to happen this summer on around the University of Utah. There's an intersection there of North Campus Drive and Federal Heights Way, which is one of the most dangerous intersections for bicyclists in Salt Lake City. The various bike committees in Salt Lake have had this as a desire to fix this for 30 years, and the, my understanding is that UDOT has no interest in fixing this intersection whatsoever. So given that, you know, with this committee, we do this time have somebody from Region 2 here, which is the first, I think, in a long time. It's very nice to see, but as far as I know, no one from UDOT Region 1 is here, and UDOT Region 2 has lots of instances, the Highway 89 is in Region 1, but UDOT Region 2 really needs to sort of step up and make UDOT roads much safer for bicycling and for pedestrians. And so it would be great if this committee could invite someone from Region 1 to be here consistently, and maybe even someone from Region 2 in traffic engineering and that. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that wants to offer a public comment? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move on to the chair report. I'll be very brief because I'm just the interim chair, but I actually would like to take a moment just to thank Mary Applegarth for his service on this committee. He's no longer in office, and that's why I'm sitting in this seat. But he was a great mentor to me, with not only respect to this committee, but just in respect of being a mayor generally, and I think he gave great service to the committee, so I just want to thank him for that. Apart from that, I'm going to turn the chair report time over to either Andrew or Scott to give just an overview of this committee and our role on it, and
I guess it's Scott.
Scott, please.
Okay, great. So this is, I believe, our fifth year as the Active Transportation Committee. Won't go too far back into the history, but just want to talk a little bit about the membership and the makeup of this committee and its uniqueness and the fact that we're all here and really just how empowering that is. So the membership of this committee crosses multiple cities, counties, MPOs. We have Wasatch Front Regional Council and MAG to begin with, reaching out to Tooele. Then you have UDOT Regions, UDOT Complex, UTA, the Utah Department of Health, Bike Utah, Jordan River Commission has sat in on this board, and then of course everybody else around the room just because of your interest. And this is really the place in the state of Utah to have a conversation about active transportation at a regional level. So we can dive down into details, we can talk 30,000 foot level and connections from Tooele into Salt Lake Valley, and we really want to be able to utilize this committee, the decision-making power that sits around this table right here, and utilize it to the best of our ability, and I think that we've been doing that for the last few years. This committee exists as a recommendation body up to our other elected official committees, so we operate in planning, but we make recommendations up to Regional Growth Committee as well as Transportation Committee, Transcom.
Transportation Coordination.
Coordination Committee, thank you. Which ultimately all goes up to the overall Wasatch Front Regional Council. So very important role here. We're not necessarily a decision-making body. We don't have to operate under, you know, formal decision-making around the table oftentimes, but the discussions that happen in this room lead to real change, and we really appreciate your willingness to come out on a drizzly January day and continue to be engaged. I think this is continues to be one of the best attended committees, and in my opinion, it's one of the most fun committees. We get to talk about really exciting things, so I just want to thank you for your continued
awesome
involvement.
Field trips too.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely.
Mayor, can I just add on Scott's comment? One of the hard outcomes of the committee, people forget, Utah pulled in the second largest Tiger grant nationally. A lot of people don't realize the comments you make feed into our thinking and that strategy UTA led, but it was really a collective effort, and a lot of input from this committee led to that success. So that's a hard outcome from being able to pull everybody's collective consciousness.
Absolutely. Thanks, George.
Okay. All right, then I guess moving on back to Scott, do you want to talk more about goals? And
I do, yeah. So we'll start looking back at last year's agenda. And this starts to get glitchy once everybody's Bluetooth comes in the room, so I apologize for that. I'm going to start with the slide, actually. That'll be easier. You guys all have a copy of this. So looking back to 2017 goals, in an effort, late 2016, early 2017, we met as a staff at WFRC, a number of us, and talked about what are the things that we can do at a regional level that will actually create change. And these four goals came up. So some of them were things that we've always been doing, but we just wanted to put down on paper. And some of them were new efforts at the time. So we wanted to bring this back in front of this group. I've asked Katie to print out and distribute a detail sheet on the goals. So bolded are each of these four goals, and then within them are sub-bullets that we're continuing to work on in order to make these goals a reality. And just get your feedback, see if there's anything that we're missing. 2017 was, in my opinion, one of the most productive years, at least of the 2 years that I've been here, and of the 5 years watching the committee. In 2017, we had multiple applications come in for new active transportation plans to the TLC program, a Planners for Health grant that helped link health and planning together. You had the completion of the active transportation benefits study. It was really a very, you know, a really good year, and I look forward to 2018. But just these four goals. One is our continued update of the Shared Regional Priority Bicycle Routes Plan, or MAP. This is rolled into our regional transportation plan effort, but also just working with the locals in order to get those MAP updates done. And then that's the second bullet, is that cities and counties adopt local active transportation plans. So this has been an effort with the counties, Bike Utah, UDOT, in order to get everybody having a current active transportation plan that is reflective of the regional priorities. Three is continue to fund and construct priority projects, and that's of course the very large Tiger grants all the way down to small city grants through our Transportation Alternatives Program funding or even the county's CATNIP funding. And then four, building support for active transportation through effective engagement and outreach. And that's our mobile active transportation tours, opportunities to get out into in front of the public with what we're doing. There are 100 other things that we could be doing, and I think that it's helpful to kind of look at, you know, look from the top down, 30,000 foot view, and see what are the most important goals that we can be doing as this committee and as a regional staff that will also help the locals make their desires come true as well. So just to open that up for discussion and any of these interim bullets, and then I'll get together, or I'll put together the 2018 active transportation goals to continue moving forward.
I have a comment.
Yes.
So you've got the cities and counties adopt local active transportation plans. It's come to my attention at the end of last year that UDOT's Region 2 bicycle plan has not changed since like 2012 or something. And so when bike committees come to different projects and say, we'd like you to put a bike route on this since you're doing construction on it, they say, well, it's not on the plan, we're not gonna do it.
Right.
So I'd really like to update UDOT's plan.
Great.
To match everybody's.
And in conjunction with that, I know you have the regional plan, and this is somewhat a regional group, but I think there needs to be a statewide GIS schema that, and Scott, you and I have talked about this, where you have all the UDOT plans, and then there are county plans and state plans, and they all feed into one body that, I mean, Redwood Road's a perfect example of that. It was on two plans to have bike lanes, and it was not on one plan, and so then you're putting money into a study to determine what's the plan, whereas those plans should be filtered up and filtered down. Heidi and I have talked about this pretty extensively. I mean, any way we can get that going on a statewide level would be a huge help.
And on that same vein, the state is working to put together a statewide database of all trails throughout the state, and so to the extent we can keep that updated and make sure that the local governments, I mean, that's where most of the trails are being built anyway, and that's where most of the infrastructure and information needs to come from, so if we can get that, it really helps coordinate across the regions.
So I think we kind of need to develop a process. I mean, I think there are municipalities that would want to make submissions to UDOT and talk about things that we want to see. You know, I know in my city we have a couple state highways where there could be some opportunities for some active transportation bike lanes. 33rd South is one. So we need a process for how we can submit to you or how you want to do that.
Agreed. And Heidi, I don't know if you're working on that.
Yeah, so I was just going to speak to this. So indeed, like our region bike plans, the context has changed, right? No one within my immediate planning circle remembers like when those plans were created. So they date back at least 5 to 7 years, if not longer. So when you consider how much our metro areas have grown, how much development has changed, what corridors have been built out, which ones have received attention or maintenance needs, right, active transportation facilities have, like, or the need for them, rather, has changed as well. And so the regions have reached out to me several times. Like, we were looking at Mario Capecchi and North Campus Drive. And even though North Campus Drive isn't on the region's bike plan, you know, we need to consider how context has changed with bike commuting and active transportation access to the University of Utah. So we've looked at how we can move people on Mario Capecchi and what we can do to help facilitate the university in their planning process. And so we're going to start examining how we can jumpstart the new plans of the regions. And so over the course of the next 6 to 9 months, our planning department will be hiring consultants to help kind of lead this initiative to update our region plans. And we're going to be using Strava to really inform what facilities we're going to be prioritizing, and then what facilities need active transportation, which is active transportation. It's basically accommodation on them.
So I would just say that for this all ties directly to our first goal of updating the regional transportation plan, the regional priority map, and that's a four-year process, started back 2015. We're going to adopt that in July of 2019, and we've had significant discussion with UDOT Region 2, UDOT Region 1. We've gone to the local active transportation committee meetings in Weber, Davis, spoken to Salt Lake County. So my hope is that we have this coordinated line work that is, you know, it's kind of tweaks and changes from line work past, and come July 2019 when we adopt that regional transportation plan, our hope as a region, and I think this has been discussed up through UDOT, UTA, is to have one map that rules them all, that basically that line work is adopted, and then we exchange that line work in UDOT's servers so that project managers are able to grab the corrected line work. And that's then a collective decision in that process. So we don't need to create a new process. We probably don't need to create a new map wholesale. It's really just the continued tweaking of our regional transportation plan that everybody's had eyes on. And if we can use an existing process to just, you know, delete and dump a new data set in 2019, and then we periodically update that in the interim years in between RTP years. So that's my goal and hope. And then we're also changing the way we're doing the RTP map. Prior it was a base map and then a priority routes network. We're going to now go a base map and a regional network, which is that UCATS and UDOT selected layer of detail. And we're going to phase that, and then we have one more, which is our vision map. So it's what those routes look like in out to 2050 with some facility types indicated in them. So we're going to have more detail in our RTP map than we ever have, and hopefully that will be the new map that we all reference. And
Scott, let me just say, for the new members, there is going to be an acronym quiz.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
At the end of this this meeting. And if you don't know all the acronyms, you're never invited back again. Just kidding.
I apologize.
Thank you. I think it's great discussion. I think the point that's emerging from this is totally consistent with what we've been all shooting for, which is it shouldn't be that a city has desires and a plan, and then the county is doing something different, and you know, at a regional level, our organization is doing something different, and the state is doing something different. It has to all be coordinated, and there's technology to use that can help integrate that, and then also planning and discussion, right? So moving in that direction, it's challenging, but we've made a lot of progress, and we want to keep making progress at all levels, state, region, county, and city. And that's one of the things that this group, on a governmental level, but then also on a technical level, that we're trying to continue to shepherd forward, right?
Could I jump in with a kind of point question? So hearing this conversation about Mario Kopecky Drive and the public comment that was made, I live right there, so I understand the problem. And I'm wondering if we can't reach out and even invite somebody from the University of Utah Planning to join this group. Because it seems to me, when you talk about local coordination, the university campus issues are so key to that quadrant. So I don't know, Salt Lake City, if that's something you are really kind of working with them on,
so,
and
Ginger
then it's back
Cannon
to us.
Ginger is their active transportation manager, and she has been very involved in that particular discussion. So that connection's been made. I'm not sure about whether she's an active invite to this.
Yeah, it might be worth pursuing, because I think as you look at active transportation, that particular area is so key, and it's key to bikers, clearly, because of the connectivity, and this particular intersection is an issue. But you know, you look at the engagement of that, the workers there and the community, and don't even know the numbers, but if you look at the balance of people working downtown compared to the university and the hospitals and student population, we have to be on top, I think, of the university as integrated into our local government, our county, et cetera. And I feel like over time, for a lot of reasons, they've operated somewhat independently, and integration, I think, is really key. So I would just make that suggestion that we consider that, and if we agree that that's a good addition, that we reach out.
Thanks, Jim.
I just wanted to say thank you to Scott and Wasatch Front Regional Council. The goals that were set, they have really helped our county, and Wasatch Front really helped our county. We are working on a county plan. As of last night, I spoke to the new mayor of Tooele City, and she's on board with getting a plan for Tooele City.
leave, so we'll get Brownsville on board. So just, I appreciate it because it just kind of reinforces what I'm trying to do out there with what you are, you know, promoting. And I know some areas have plans already in effect, and, you know, we're jealous of that. So thank you. I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it.
Any other comments on that? Okay, I guess we're moving on to Move Utah.
One thing I would like to ask, is everybody comfortable with these four goals moving forward to 2018? Should we add any goal, modify these, take one away? I think that was kind of the initial ask. We dove into the regional, the goal number one we talked heavily about, so that one sounds like keep it on there. Other two or three, good. Is there any other priorities you'd like us a region to focus on that's not up here?
Maybe an overarching principle, Jory, in that, it's, you know, as an engineer, I'm listening to discussions. I want to propose a radical idea for an overarching principle, and that is, this isn't new, but it keeps it simple, and that is, bikes have to go where the cars go. Every road is a bike way, really, and it's applying the appropriate, now we have exclusionary roads, certainly, freeway and maybe some other arterials, but really every road is a bike way, bikes are a vehicle. We need to apply the principles of that to every project, every time we look at a roadway, getting the bikes to where the cars go. It's a simple, it's pretty simple, and the maps do add that layer of our health and measuring, you know, where we're at on the active transportation network, but we really do keep that principle in mind.
And I guess to add to that, at some point, WFRC asked Salt Lake City for a map of where we plan to put bike lanes or bike infrastructure, or what roads were our bike ways, and we sent them a map of all of our streets, you know, because, or basically saying that every collector or arterial was planned, potentially, depending on constraints and trade-offs, et cetera, for a potential bike lane. That was before we had a more robust local bike plan. But it's not necessarily where the bikes and cars want to go, it's where the people want to go, right? And so that's the commonality between those two.
I have one comment just for more of the new members, is that there is a lot of support for active transportation coming from the public health side, and we have a lot of fantastic people in local health departments who are working on this. So if you're looking at some of that health-related data, since we do talk about it so much, it is about the people, make sure you reach out to the local health departments. They are fantastic to be able to help you move forward. And as Kim was saying, there's a lot of interaction already occurring. This is something that we just want to make sure continues, because we're there to help.
Thank you.
Two things that I think are worth adding to the project construct priority projects, number three, item number three. One is that given that the network on the Wasatch Front is very, very far from being built out, is paint. Spend a lot of money on paint and get the easy, the low-hanging fruit, get it done as quickly as possible. By constructing, the easy to do things, you're going to encourage more people in more places to use their bikes and to walk. The second thing that's not really touched on is the reinvigoration of Prop 1 in the counties where it failed, including Salt Lake County, for the sales tax increase for active transportation and transit, and that should be a priority. Have that part of the discussion here and on a state level.
Okay, thank you. So I think that we should maybe request staff to kind of digest some of these ideas, and if people have other ideas or whatever, contact Scott, and then we can have staff put together some updates to these goals.
Can I ask a quick question? Is the Active Transportation Commission involved in anything with the Point of the Mountain Commission? I know with, you know, the expansion and high density that's planning or going on relocation of the prison property Lehigh, and I also represent MAG's interest as well as Jordan River's interest. You know, I want to make sure that you guys have a voice at the Point of the Mountain when they're developing that. Is that, do you
guys currently have voice there?
Sure. The answer is yes, generally. All of the transportation agencies, so WFRC and our sister agency to the south that you referenced, and Jim represents Mountainland Association of Governments, and UDOT and UTA are working together with the consultants for the Point of the Mountain to ensure that the transportation elements are really woven together. Also, there are members of Wasatch Front Regional Council and Mountainland Association of Governments that are serving as official members of the Point of the Mountain Commission. I could go on, but the basic answer to your really good point is yes, absolutely, we're coordinating with Point of the Mountain Commission.
Okay, that's what I want to
know. Okay, thanks. So, Heidi, we'll turn it to you.
You should have a clicker.
A clicker? Perfect. So again, I'm Heidi Goodhart with the Utah Department of Transportation. And I do all of the active transportation planning. I coordinate a lot of our safety and education and outreach opportunities. And just a little plug right now, UDOT is hiring an active transportation safety manager. So it'll be basically our new Safe Routes to School coordinator. So that position, I think, is open for today, I think through Friday, if you know anyone who's interested in applying. That'll be replacing our previous coordinator, who is Sharisa Olson. So we're excited to really get someone in that position again and really work on Safe Routes to School and our active transportation safety initiatives. Anyway, today I'm here to talk to you about Move Utah, which is UDOT's new active transportation planning program. What we want to aim for are active, healthy, and connected communities. And we're going to do that through planning. We're going to do that through education, outreach, and encouragement, and community events, and all of those wonderful things that we can do with active transportation. We had a program previously that was called Road Respect, and it was very focused on doing education and outreach in local communities, and the back end of that program was very focused on helping communities attain Road Respect community designations that helped them get on track for making plans, hosting community events, doing education and outreach, bike rodeos, engaging their Safe Routes to School programs and everything. But that program really lacked a pedestrian element. And if you guys have been watching the news or reading the newspaper lately, you know that Utah has a 25% increase in pedestrian fatalities over the last 5 years. And so what we really needed to do with the Road Respect program was re-spin it, rebrand it, and pull in a really holistic approach to how UDOT looks at active transportation. And so we're doing that with this Move Utah program. What we want to do is engage local communities to have plans, right, and think about and consider active transportation. And this program is going to be custom catering an approach within a community so that there's very context-sensitive approaches to active transportation, unique approaches to education and outreach and community events, and ultimately leading to better planning. So for instance, this is a statewide program. We want to have a really strong presence here on the Wasatch Front. But what we want to do is really encourage communities to embrace their assets, work with their strengths, and really elevate active transportation. So for instance, Moab has very, very different active transportation goals than St. George, Utah, or Fruit Heights, Utah, or even Salt Lake City, for that matter. So what we want to do is, when we go into communities, we help them figure out who their champions are, who their engaged citizens are, what local businesses they can leverage to kind of create and build support for active transportation. And we pick out key planners or people on their council or within their political sphere that can help advance active transportation. And then we step back and we look at the goals and objectives in that community, and we custom cater approaches to how they can address active transportation and move safety forward, move planning forward, or just active transportation generally. So these are our partners. We have Brett McAfee with Department of Health today. And so we've developed a really, really strong partnership with the Department of Health. If you look at the tagline for this program, it's active, healthy, connected communities. So we really want to bring up the fact that active transportation plays a massive role in increasing the health and viability of our communities. So this program is working with the Department of Health to administer cancer control grants. So we will have some funding for communities to start their active transportation plans or host events. And the idea is that, you know, we can build active transportation enthusiasm through this. We still have our original partnership with Bike Utah. We're working really strongly with them to encourage active transportation in all communities. We still have a really strong partnership with the Department of Public Safety, Marcus Varela, who's their Highway Safety Vulnerable Roadway Users Manager. And then we're going to be leveraging all of the resources behind UDOT's new Heads Up program, which is our Vulnerable Roadway Users Safety Platform. And then, of course, we have Utah Highway Patrol. They're going to be out there helping, you know, local law enforcement or local communities understand the laws about pedestrians and about cyclists. So basically, this program has like a really wide partnership scale, and we hope to increase this over time. But also, you know, we're wanting to approach active transportation from nearly every angle that we can to increase bicycle friendliness across the state. So some of our initiatives, they're very similar to, if you're familiar with the Road Respect program, those same initiatives. But they also tie very closely with the work that WFRC is doing and the work that UDOT's doing. So again, we want to really emphasize an integrated transportation system. It's not just about cars at UDOT, it's also going to be about transit and walking and biking. And just to give an example of that, we had a pedestrian summit on November 30th here in Salt Lake County, and Carlos Braceres was our director, the lunchtime keynote, and he basically said that for UDOT to be successful, UTA has to be successful, and that our sidewalks need to be as busy as our roadways. So UDOT is starting to take a turn and really start to take active transportation seriously, because if we want to cut down on congestion, if we want to have mobility options for people, those need to be inclusive of walking and biking. So again, we want to identify the benefits of health and activity. We have a lot of tools here in Utah to do this. We've just finished our active transportation and health benefits study, and UTA has taken the great time and effort to pull together a tool that helps planners or people in communities basically plug in the numbers for what that they would like to see in their community as far as a pathway or a bike lane, and they can see the direct outputs economically and with health benefits. So this just kind of helps strengthen the argument as people go to their local cities or local government entities and like plead the case for active transportation. And again, we want to improve the quality of life for communities, and we can do that through having transportation options. When you think about some of our most wonderful places that we like to visit, they usually have great places to walk, great places to ride bikes, parks, right? They have an element of health and activity, and what we want to do is provide that in every single community along the Wasatch Front and throughout the state of Utah. So again, you know, just to kind of summarize this next slide, we want to have a context-sensitive approach, right? We want to really think about how active transportation is going to be used in a community and what the needs are. So is that like safe routes to school? We want to ensure that kids can get somewhere safely. Are there destinations in a community where there's a large elderly population and they need to have kind of superior ADA or universal design access? So what we want to do is just really custom cater approaches to active transportation so that we can help communities. So similar to the Road Respect program, we've taken those community designation levels and we've moved them into Move Utah. So we have Activate, Ascend, and Peak. And we're not really, because this program is so context sensitive, we don't have a bulleted list saying you must meet these requirements to get plugged into these different community designation levels. Basically, we want to meet with local communities and help carry them through this designation process. And the hope is when they reach peak level, it's basically a shoe-in with the League of American Bicyclists bicycle-friendly designation. So if they complete kind of all of the steps that we've kind of tiered out for them in this program, they're going to be bicycle-friendly to some degree. Snyderville Basin and Park City just received bicycle-friendly gold status. And you know, we have lots of communities that are up and coming along the Wasatch Front. What is Salt Lake right now?
Silver.
Silver. right? So the idea is that if we help out with plans, if we help out with safety and education and events, that, you know, we build enough support that communities are indeed bicycle friendly and they can receive national recognition for this. And we're also tying this program in with walkable communities and walkable city designations. And then this is the last slide, and I'm so bummed because our website is actually, I think, still down today. We're having some domain issues, but if you, hopefully in the next couple days, or for sure by Monday, our website will be up, and you can kind of see a little bit more about the intent behind this program, what UDOT's trying to get at with looking at active transportation holistically. And this last slide is just kind of an idea of what we're doing with this program. So pedestrian issues are increasingly like growing, right? We have a lot of pedestrian fatalities in the state, the highest that we've ever had. 42 people lost their lives on Utah's roadways as pedestrians last year. And so what we want to do is address issues that pedestrians have. And so we've done our first three videos as somewhat of a pedestrian experience, if you will. And you can step into these people's shoes and experience their mobility challenges. So each one of these individuals went out with a 360-degree camera and navigated the built environment. And so you can put on some Google glasses, I have some in my office, and basically take a walk with them and experience some of the issues that they're experiencing with the built environment, whether that's inadequate ADA and ped ramps, if that's tripping hazards in an intersection, if that's construction zones that totally cut access in a community, or if it's just barriers you know, they kind of experience every day that we as able-bodied individuals really take for granted. So what we're trying to do with the Move Utah program is elevate planning, elevate the pedestrian and bicycle experience, and to get people to really consider and accommodate pedestrians and bicycles. So, any questions?
We have a pair of the goggles out here in the hallway out here if anybody wants to use them after the...
Wonderful, yeah. Yeah, so the videos are linked on YouTube, the so they should work right, regardless of if the website is down. Yes, Roger.
Yes, it's important for the infrastructure, but I think one thing that's been missing in the education is driving behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That even with the zero fatalities, Carlos has always talked about buckle your seatbelt. But I think it's the aggressive, distracted driving that is causing those pedestrian fatalities,
yeah,
and the bike conflicts. Speed, aggressive driving, and distracted driving ought to be the top promotion that we need to talk about in terms of balanced behavior.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Department of Public Safety and UDOT, they're actively looking at what we need to do to either re-examine or do more enforcement with our driving culture. So that's definitely something that's...
Aggressive driving, I think, is the, mm-hmm, the dominant thing that I experienced as a bicyclist. And it's rarely talked about in the public realm about the behavior, mm-hmm, of drivers. And I think that's got to be at least half the equation.
Absolutely, and it's like it's about elevating the conversation as well, because I think people have a preconceived notion of what aggressive driving is, but aggressive driving is also inclusive of excessive speed. If you are going above the speed limit, you are driving aggressively. And so I think there's an education with the public there that can happen, that just because you're driving quickly doesn't necessarily mean that you are driving safely or within kind of the decorum that we expect on the
road. I don't know if the legislature is going to deal with texting and all of that stuff, but that's pretty clearly a dangerous activity, mm-hmm, while you're driving. I don't understand why we haven't outlawed that. More, rather than outlawing it, promoting it as an unsafe piece of our culture.
Yeah, and we definitely have a lot of that messaging in our new Heads Up program, in our new Heads Up initiative. No distracted driving, and pedestrians need to be aware because there are distracted drivers out there. So, you know, those discussions are kind of happening at the Carlos Braceres level with, you know, pursuing extra legislation during this legislative session. But I'm not sure as to, like, the direct, like, texting or, like, a bill about a lot of texting. So. Any other questions, comments? Please visit the website when it's back up. It's really an awesome website, and you can link directly to our partners. You can learn more about the old Road Respect program. We have a blog. We're going to be updating what communities are doing, and you know, how we're working. And again, I'm the program manager. We have Kim Clark in the back. She's one of our consultants on our team. And then we have, also have Andrea Olson, who isn't here today. But we're a small team, but we're really happy to basically deploy any resources that we can in the communities. So please reach out to us.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks.
Okay, back to Scott.
All right, so I was going to give you guys a really long, drawn-out presentation full of acronyms about the Regional Transportation Plan and the current scenario of where we're at today. But instead, I'm going to use this time to plug an event coming up. This is the Wasatch Choice 2050 and Mayor's Metro Solution, where you will get to preview the preferred scenario for the Regional Transportation Plan, which includes the land use element, the roadway, the transit, and the active transportation element. And it's going to be a much better, more polished presentation than I could do sitting from this chair here, and would really encourage everybody to take, you know, 1 minute out of this meeting and check their calendars and put this on there and make sure you register, because I think this is going to be the most important event of the beginning of 2018 and maybe of 2018 for us as a region. And it's certainly your first shot at seeing the preferred scenario for active transportation, as well as our entire regional transportation plan. Really looking forward to it. And that's all that I want to say. Unless there's any questions, and I can give you all sorts of, you know, ugly details about the work we've been doing the last 3 years.
Could you tell us a little more about, like, the comprehensive nature of this and how active transportation will fit in, and who else is participating? You know,
of the
conference of that day. Conference.
Oh yeah,
what's
sure.
Kind of the global. How's everybody interacting? What's the, I mean, active transportation as a piece,
yeah,
but
right, yeah.
What are the other objectives
right.
and presentations?
So, actually, for this event itself, we just sent out by email, and so all of you, almost all of you, if you're on all of our email list, should have received the agenda for this event. There's the portion of this that Scott's talking about releasing the draft Wasatch Choice 2050 vision. That vision is a comprehensive look at land use, transportation, all modes of transportation, and economic development, looking out from now all the way out to 2050. So, and it's a shared vision. Government has been involved, city, county, regional, state government, and the private sector and community organizations over the course of several years to get to this point of having a draft vision. And then we release this, and what you'll be able to see once it's released is a map depiction of where we anticipate growth to occur in housing, where we anticipate job placement to be, where new jobs will be located, and then also the transportation networks that serve them and weave together homes and work, and then also, of course, our green spaces, our outdoors and our parks and our wonderful nature areas, Corner Canyon, other areas like that. And the idea of releasing this is to put this draft vision out and then spend time over the course of several months to get additional feedback on that vision. So there'll be a means in the interactive map that gets released for people to review, zoom in, zoom out, and then make comments on any particular project or on the strategies. So it's very comprehensive, but you'll be able to turn on and off layers. So for example, Councilwoman, if you wanted to isolate active transportation, the plans, you'd be able to just show those and where they are. But our thinking is, and the best practices is, you don't look at one mode of transportation in isolation. You look at active transportation, transit, roads, as they all fit together. And then similarly, you don't just look at transportation in isolation, you look at that in conjunction with what are the housing patterns and development patterns, where are jobs located now and where could they be located in the future. And that's all captured within this vision. The only other thing I would say about this is not WFRC figuring this out and then sharing it. this reflects actually years of engagement from all of the local communities. So what is it that is most important for Ogden or for Mill Creek or for South Weber? And, you know, feeding into this your visions and plans for the development of your community, and then looking at that in a whole regional and integrated perspective. So hopefully that's going at what you were asking.
Yes,
that was a softball. Thank you. Yeah.
It was helpful to me.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
And the interactive map that Andrew referenced will be sent out prior to the event in the next 2 weeks. So we'll make sure that that's sent out to the Active Transportation Committee. And that'll be our primary means of collecting feedback from you, short of going out to the local communities, which we'll be doing at the beginning of this year. So please open that up, look at the comments section, how you can add comments to the map, look through all of the modes, and provide us that feedback. It's critical as we refine this preferred scenario prior to the adoption of the plan in 2019.
I'd add, we have, Scott mentioned the local community outreach, we have 10 workshops planned, kind of exclusively for local elected officials and staff, City Council, Planning Commission. If you have not received an invitation to those, let us know. We've sent out the calendars. We invite UTA, Utah League of Cities and Towns, and Utah Association of Counties to attend. And we really get into the details, sit around the table, and review also, you know, same projects and land use that's on the interactive map, but more in a little bit more informal kind of setting. Have some good conversation. So let me know after this meeting, or Katie know if you have it, if you don't have that on your calendar, or if you want to be added. We have a list, but it doesn't always make it to everybody within every organization or city.
Cool. Thank you.
Derek, anything else on that? So Richard, do you want to talk just about Tiger update?
I can change the slides with this, Scott?
Yes. Okay.
Well, it's I'm glad to be here to report on our Tiger grant status. And as I developed these, I didn't know there were going to be so many new faces. So I thought maybe I should take a step back. And Tiger is another acronym. It stands for Transportation Investment Generating Economic Recovery. And they are discretionary grant dollars given by the United States Department of Transportation on a competitive basis. And UTA applied for a Tiger grant with the last Tiger program back in about February of 2006. And there's a lot of people in this room that have had a part in that. And gosh, as I look around, maybe a third or so. And UTA received the Tiger grant. In our grant, we did ask for $28 billion of Tiger money, and we were awarded $20 million. So as I go through the presentations, you'll see some of the changes we had to have made to adjust our accounting. Last time I reported was back in August, and since then we've hit a lot of really large milestones. Prior to now, in this meeting, we've met with all our local entities who had Tiger projects, and the Tiger projects were creating active transportation connections to our rail stations. So bike lanes, bike routes, sidewalks, pedestrian curb cuts, and even pedestrian bridges. But they're all active transportation related items of work to make access to our rail stations, whether it was our commuter rail or our light rail, more appeasing, and sometimes it reduced the route length and everything else. So we had to submit a white paper to the USDOT, and it was submitted to the OST. That's the Office of the Secretary of Transportation. And what we had to explain in that white paper is how we're going to deliver our Tiger program with only the $20 million, not the $28 million we asked for. But this was a huge milestone. The OST approved it. Couple things that they really liked, and why this Tiger project was selected for some of the discretionary money, it was because the $20 million in Tiger pretty much buys around $100 million in active transportation projects in the area. And that was huge to them. Another reason was Utah is able to work with all our local agencies, thanks to Wasatch Front, MAG, some of our other MPOs, that we have a unified plan in Utah, and we seem to work and play together very well in the sandbox, where other states or agencies don't do that too well. So, go to the next slide. So in our grant application, we had a program of about $88 million worth of active transportation projects. And with our grant award, it was actually only the $75.7 million because, of course, they pulled the $8 plus million out. As far as the commitment, the US DOT Office of the Secretary was really strict that they wanted us to stick to that $75.7 million commitment of transportation projects. Now that's just numbers to match back to the grant. Like I just mentioned, it was really around $100 million worth of projects. So of the $75.7 million that was in our Tiger grant, Tiger projects, which I'm the project manager for UTA, is actually only about $32 million. The other $43 million, it's actually more than that, is projects that are programmed in the UDOT STIP that will be delivered by UDOT. So I've mentioned a lot of names, but I report basically to four people in our executive committee, which is Carlos Braceras of UDOT, Andrew Gruber of Wasatch Front, Andrew Jackson of Mountain Land Associations of Governments, and Jerry Benson at UTA. Now, even though I report to those four, with these Tiger projects, I really report to all of you. I report to the six counties that our projects are in, which are Weber, Davis, Salt Lake, Tooele, Utah, and Summit. And I report to the 24 cities where you all have projects. So if you ever have questions, feel free to ask me, because at the end of the day, this has to be your project. They are your projects. You gave us the scope and the estimates, and UTA is just the entity that's delivering this for the US DOT. So you can see some of our project types. In the grant, we had a total of 343 projects. As we went through and vetted them, we ended up with the 161 projects, $32 million. We have ADA ramps, bike lanes, bike parking and lockers, bike repair stands, bike share programs, bus stop improvements, crosswalk improvements, pedestrian bridges, railroad crossings, sidewalk improvements, multi-use paths. We call them trails here, but apparently in Washington, D.C., trails have a negative connotation, so we had to change that to multi-use paths, and wayfinding. So that's kind of the program we're delivering, $32 million, 161 projects for the local entities. So I said we hit a huge milestone getting our white paper approved. We have submitted our paper grant, which is the next big step, to the US DOT Office of the Secretary of Transportation. And we are hoping to get approval of that in early February. We have some scheduled critical projects in 2018. And then, of course, all the 2018 and 2019 projects will be starting soon. If you want to know where any of the project information is, it's on the UTA webpage. You go to that, you see up in the top right, it says main menu. You go there, and it goes to some drop downs. You'll go to About UTA, then it takes you to Active Projects, and then you'll see the Tiger Project. So we have our project list of projects out there, the dollars for the funding. We've got a link to our GIS database, which shows where every project is, and if you click on it, you'll be able to get the concept report. We've blacked out the cost data, and it'll also have any other project related documents, the approved environmental document, and it's just it's a great place to go if you want to see what we're actually doing. So next steps. So we are really pushing to get this Tiger grant signed. A lot of our entities are anxious to get started. Once we get the paper grant signed, then we have to enter it into the FTA system just so we can bill it and get our money for it. There's some schedule critical construction items that need to happen soon. We are in the process of selecting a contractor through the CMGC selection method. Shortly after that, we'll be selecting a designer. We'll be sending out our stakeholder agreements to our partners, and then when they provide their local match, we'll move forward with their projects. So it's good news from where I've reported the last year. Things are looking good, moving ahead. So any questions or comments? No questions. Wow.
I do.
Yes.
On the website, does it show where the projects are?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Some are a dot, some are a line. Then this concept report actually, you know, will give you the address, where it goes, start, ends, what it entails, and so forth.
If you go back one, I can try to, oh, I can, hey, I have a keyboard, I can do this. Sure. Festin's not in here.
Why are you there? Look at that, I had the right link, Scott.
All right.
So there's our GIS database. Whose project do you want to pick, Kelly?
I know we have some, and I appreciate that.
Okay, let's go there.
Let's go to Mill Creek.
Mill Creek, that's Salt Lake County. Right, George?
At the Better Base. Last time, yeah.
Cool dialogue.
In other news, we will be moving the WFRC offices year.
When is that?
So I'm going to talk slowly.
Just like the move is going to be?
May or June is our current target. We've signed a lease for a new office space at the north end of the gateway. So for all of you at this Active Transportation Committee, it will be accessible by driving easily if you'd like to drive, but also by front runner and by tracks, and also by bike. There's a green bike station right outside of the office there, so at the north end of Gateway. Right, Katie?
Right.
Yes.
Have you sold this building?
No, and thank you, this wonderful building is for sale. There's flyers on the table out in front. So if anybody's looking for an investment here in the Northwest Quadrant.
It does have fiber connected for internet. It must be the site, not us. We normally like it.
First owner, easy miles.
Right.
Clean.
Well, apparently it's not going to connect, Scott.
Yeah, refresh.
Anyway, it's there.
It's there. Yeah, I would encourage you to go and take a look at it.
Great. Any other questions? Comments? Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Okay, Megan, do you want to talk to us about the letters of intent?
I get to start with a joke. That's fun. I am not Megan. I am Alex. Alex Roy, transportation planner here at Wasatch Front Regional Council, working with Megan in the TLC program, which is Transportation and Land Use Connection Program. I'll try and limit the acronyms for everybody. So like I said, Scott asked to give us a very brief presentation of kind of what our role is in the AT world, active transportation world here in our region. So we are the Transportation and Land Use Connection Group. We provide, it used to be called the Local Planning Resource Program. So we provide local municipalities with planning level funds to kind of direct their projects. These are projects that come directly from the communities to us, and we help facilitate these projects, also play a part in, you know, kind of the administration of them. So it's really a way to identify what the locals need and also bring that up to a regional level. Our partners, our funding partners in the program include UDOT, UTA, and Salt Lake County. Without them, you know, this project would not be as successful as it is. We really thank them for all their support. Ongoing, more than just funding, these groups provide a very strong connection to, you know, these regional concepts that we're trying to work on. And so it's great to have it. I know Helen, thanks for being here. Big part in a lot of our projects. So let's see. Kind of the mission of the Transportation Land Use Connection is to, you know, support local governments in their planning efforts and implementing the Wasatch Choice Vision. The goals of the project include maximizing the investment in public infrastructure, enhancing access to opportunity, increasing travel options to optimize mobility, and creating communities with strong opportunities to work, live, play. So kind of a complete community idea where it's not like I'm driving to get here. It's like, how are we creating these very livable, walkable, enjoyable communities for the entire region? On the AT front, several of the 2017 projects that are currently underway or about to kick off have a strong AT component. Tooele, South Salt Lake, West Jordan, and Cottonwood Heights all are projects that are currently close to being underway or underway, like Kim mentioned, that are very heavy in the AT world. The 2018 projects, the letters of intent have come in the past month. So these are letters that are just saying, hey, we're interested in applying. The applications are due later this month for 2018 projects. 50% of these have had a pretty high level of AT involvement. They've included, you know, multi-jurisdictional AT plans. So these are a few cities getting together saying, hey, we want to do an AT plan. Mobility studies, signage and wayfinding studies, trails and transportation master plans, and a regional trail update for one of the larger regional facilities. And this kind of really aligns with the goal number two of this committee of funding some of these local planning efforts. These projects will be awarded in spring of 2018. We haven't received the application, so we don't know quite what all the nuances of them will be, but later this year, you know, we will be funding some of the TLC projects. And I just wanted to kind of highlight a couple projects that are currently underway or have been recently adopted. The first one is the Tooele Active Transportation Implementation Plan that Kim's been a big part of so far. This builds upon the Tooele County Transportation Plan that was a 2015 TLC project that was adopted. What they're trying to do is develop a regionally significant AT network. This is about creating spines, large projects that kind of, you know, can bridge the entire county and really start developing this network. One of the interesting components of this project is they're identifying ways to work with developers to create a regional bike network as growth occurs. A lot of the areas we're talking about in this program or in this project aren't, you know, as developed as what you would think. You know, they're pretty rural areas that are getting, you know, subdivisions. So as it moves through, it's like, how are we going to work with the developers to identify how these bike paths are going to go in, working with the developers while they're developing. It's also identifying roads that are, you know, already in place that are kind of connecting north, south, east, and west, and then identifying how we can use funds to move these forward. Focus Roy City was kind of a three-part project. It had a complete streets policy, and then two activity centers that they really focused on. The complete streets policy was adopted just recently, so now Roy City has a complete streets policy for their town. It also involves the Front Runner Activity Center, and they're really highlighting creating a strong TOD around that node, improving the density, becoming more of that active, livable place, as in one of the goals of TLC. And then the Downtown Activity Center, which will serve as kind of a gateway to the Roy area. And with that, I want to thank you. Even though the applications are due soon and letters of intent already come in, if anybody here in the community wants to, you know, hey, you know, next round, we're thinking about doing this sort of active transportation plan, come talk to me or Megan. We're happy to kind of walk you through the process, tell you some about how the funding works, and then maybe help you build your projects to, you know, maybe apply for some of the funding if you desire, or you can take it on your own, but we're always happy to talk. So here we go, nice and quick, within 5 minutes. Any questions or thoughts or whatever?
So I just wanted to mention, we had the Transportation Land Use Connection Program come and present now, which is kind of an awkward time, as you'd said, because we have these letters of intent, but not the actual applications. But it's due to the fact that out of 25 applications, 50% of them had some active transportation component in there, and that's just with a sponsor city. So of those 12 sponsor city applications, that's more like 15, 18, 20 cities. So a third of our region applied to us for help in developing some sort of active transportation related plan within their community. It's just a groundswell of applications that have come up. Multiples of those are multi-city coordinated active transportation plans across the entire region. So really looking forward to seeing what gets funded. And then in our next meeting, you guys will see a review of the applications that have come in on our funding projects or our funding programs through infrastructure. So that's the Transportation Alternatives Program, STP, Surface Transportation Program, and Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program. So Ben Lethridge will provide you an overview of the TIP funding applications, and then TLC provides us with planning support. So you're getting a look at both, and then followed up in the summer, I'm sure we'll talk to you about the applications that were actually funded within both funding arenas.
Good point. Thank you, Scott. All right.
Thanks, Alex. Okay, now we're off to agency, city, and county program updates. So if people have things you want to share with us, I'll recognize you to do that. I'm going to take chair's liberty and tell you about something that isn't necessarily related to alternative transportation, although it is in maybe one respect. So tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. in Mill Creek, we're having a party and an open house to celebrate our 1 year of being a city, and also to do a grand opening of our new City Hall, which is at 3330 South, 1300 East. It's a remodel of the old Thrift Town store there in the shopping center. So we're inviting all of our Mill Creek community to come. One of the things that we're doing there is continued outreach for our general plan process, which is something that's funded by a WFRC grant.
TLC grant,
yeah.
That's right.
And so we're inviting our residents to come and participate on that. Active transportation is a part of that too. So if you have nothing better to do tonight, we are gonna have food and games and stuff like that. So there's a reason to come, even if you're not from Mill Creek, but we'd love to have you there if you're interested. So, anybody else have any updates?
I do. Registration's open for the 2018 Utah Bike Summit. It's going to be March 13th at the Utah Cultural Celebration Center in West Valley City. West Valley City, one of the cities that applied for funding through TLC for an active transportation plan, so really excited about that. We have great speakers lined up. Our keynote is Gil Penalosa, who's the founder of 8 to 80 Cities, which is a nonprofit that really promotes, you know, if you want a great city, it should work for everybody from 8 years old to 80 years old, and that includes the transportation system. We have speakers from People for Bikes, Strava, EcoCounter, a bunch of speakers around the room as well, talking about equity, how to use data to improve active transportation, all sorts of things. So make sure to register.
Thanks. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll just highlight the fact the governor just recently released his budget, and if you haven't seen it, I'm sure all of you have just been diving into the budget proposal, right? Mm-hmm. But there were several sections on quality of life and transportation, and as I said earlier, I think active transportation is really starting to rise to the level of being noticed by state leaders, and there are several sections to talk about that, particularly highlighting the governor's goal to add 1,000 miles of trails over the next 10 years. We're excited. We're partnering with Bike Utah to really launch this campaign and take us forward to make sure that this is something that the entire state is looking forward to. Obviously, a lot of it will be soft service and recreation focused, but also, as I said, we really want to focus on the transportation aspects of that, filling in those gaps, making sure we're reducing congestion, getting more active populations, improving air quality. So again, just excited every time we have another something come out that highlights this issue, and so just want to make sure you're aware of that.
Thank you.
We'd like to announce that as of yesterday, well, let me go back a little further, I guess. When after Prop 1 passed in Davis County, we determined we were going to enter into a grant program to help some of our communities with some of their transportation and active transportation issues that they have in the city. So as of yesterday, our county commission announced the awarding of those grants. We awarded over, about $760,000 in grants to several cities. I think every one of those projects has an active transportation component. Some of them are strictly active transportation, just trail related. Everything from extending Jordan River
Trail. You mean path related?
Path related, yes. Everything from extending the Jordan River Trail in North Salt Lake to some road projects, another large Lake City Sting Barge trailhead project at the Adams Canyon Trailhead, which is the most popular trailhead in the county and is being impacted by the Highway 89 project. So we're excited to see those start to take place in the next year or two, and we're excited as a county to be a part of that to help out with those projects. Also, we're in a contracting phase right now to go out with the NEPA work for the Bonneville Shoreline Trail through Davis County, the remaining sections to be done there. We've announced picked a consultant to do that work and are in the contracting phase with them right now. That work should be starting soon.
Great. Anybody else?
Wooten County, we're working with Ogden City with their transportation plan that they're working on right now to implement a countywide wayfinding system, which is going to be pretty heavily focused on active transportation, vehicular transportation, as well as easy access to transit. And that's going to go up over the mountain into the Ogden Valley. So that's number one, moving forward with that with Ogden City. And then number two, we had our second meeting for the new RPO for Weaver and Morgan. We're working on some pretty cool things, hopefully.
What's an RPO?
Regional Planning Organization.
Rural.
Sorry.
It's rural, rural, isn't it?
Rural Planning Organization. So we're talking a lot about the connections between Mountain Green and the Ogden Valley. Up on the mountain of Powder Mountain, we've got 2,800 units committed to the Powder Mountain development on Snow Basin. We've got 5,000 units committed to Snow Basin. We've got another 10,000 or so units in the Ogden Valley that have been committed through zoning but haven't been executed on. So we're going to have some pretty big transportation needs going between the two counties, especially connected to 84. So that RPO, I think, is going to help us a lot. We're going to do really focus on active transportation.
Thanks.
Might keep an eye on the our favorite 45 days of the year coming up, starting a week from now.
Are you going on vacation for a couple months in a week? Is that it?
I wish. I think I have a race home. It's called the state capital, but as many of you are aware, there's been a lot of discussion, particularly over the interim, with the Transportation Task Force, and the work that's gone on there, and I anticipate that there'll be, there's a bill in the works. Exactly what it will be and whatnot, we'll all find out by the end of the session. But of course, a good part of that conversation has been the possibility of opening up the TIF for not just roadway work, but transportation as a whole. So we'll keep an eye on that. Andrew, I don't know if you have anything else you want to add to that.
What's the TIF, Commissioner?
Transportation Infrastructure.
So this is the state puts about $600 million a year in state sales taxes into new capacity projects for state roads, which are needed. But as the commissioner is noting, and as our plans indicate, we also need to be investing in transit and active transportation. So one of the items that is under discussion through the task force is making those funds flexible in their eligibility so they can be used for the highest value projects, regardless of what the mode is. So they could be used for transit, they could be used for active transportation. The governor's budget, which I have spent a lot of time looking at, Evan, includes a recommendation for that flexibility. So that will be something discussed, as the commissioner says, as we go through the legislative session, among other things.
So keep your fingers crossed and work hard for it.
Anybody else? Okay, and then we have some announcements here, I think. Do you want to talk about new member orientation? That's next for February, wasn't the meeting?
We have, sure. So we already talked about the concept reports and applications due. The Wasatch Choice 2050 and Mayor's Metro Solutions event on the 23rd of January, which you can register on our website. And the agenda for that event that we talked about already is on our website. The workshops that Jory mentioned, going down into the details at a sub-regional level with the communities about that Wasatch Choice vision, will kick off on January 30th and go through March 5th.
right during the legislative session, which is just terrific timing for some of us. And then we are going to have a WFRC new member orientation on February 22nd. It's basically geared at new members of WFRC in the committees, but anybody is welcome. Anybody and everybody are
that's
welcome.
That's when the acronym test will be given.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
What time does that start?
Sorry?
What time does that start?
It starts at 2 o'clock, I believe, on February 22nd, but we'll send out more information about that as well. And then the last item, Scott, somebody, meant to talk of just a minute relevant to this committee about Golden Spoke.
Yeah, let's hype that up.
Yeah, Golden Spoke.
So the Golden Spoke is our connected trail system from Ogden to Provo. So right now, and you can do, and we have done it, and ridden, you can ride your bike from the mouth of Ogden Canyon at 12th Street to Bridal Veil Falls on connected, safe, separated, active transportation, multi-use paths. That include a variety of
can't
paths.
Can you think of an acronym for that?
Sure, we can. We can take something up. So, the trails vary in age and type and maintenance level and all number of things, but it's pretty amazing that we have a ribbon of asphalt that connects you on a bike that parallels I-15, that parallels Front Runner, the economic development implications of having 105, 110 connected miles of active transportation routes needs to be celebrated. We had the opening of the last piece of the Jordan River, a wonderful keystone bridge, beautiful arched bridge out there at North Temple and the Jordan River. I'd invite you to all go out and ride along this brand new piece of infrastructure that was the final piece connecting Ogden to Provo. And by some divine intervention or just really good planning, because that's what we do, it happens to fall that the bridge is right in the middle of this connected system of trails. So the idea is to gather up some elected officials and folks and partners from each of the communities, one begin in Provo, one begin in Ogden, and about 5 hours later we'll come together and connect in the middle. With a group of people, and so we've been discussing this with local communities who want to be involved. My vision of this is that it's more like a linear group of or a linear series of events that the cities can participate as heavy as they want to. That you can maybe have some UTA passes to allow you to get to the nearest Front Runner station if you only want to ride that last five to 8 miles in from either Murray or Woods Cross. And we're planning this. With May is Bike Month, so May 2018 is when this will be. It's tentatively scheduled for May 18th. And while I've spoken individually to most everybody in the room who's going to be involved on that, just yesterday I was drafting up the invitation to be a part of our planning committee email. So watch for that to come out hopefully this week. And if not Thursday before I'm gone, then it'll be Tuesday when we get back, and we'll get everybody together to hammer out some of those final details.
So start working out now, or you give us a link to an easy rental on an e-bike.
That wouldn't be a bad way to do it. So we did this ride for new folks or those who weren't here at the end of the last year. It was 106 miles. It took us 9.5 hours of moving time on my Strava app to do it, averaging like 10.5 miles an hour, which is moving but not terribly strenuous. We weren't just head down, but I will tell you that we did it in October in the one day that it was just the horrendous wind. So we got to ride in a headwind the entire way, and lucky enough, Jim Price picked us up at the Lehigh Front Runner station and drove us to Bridal Veil Falls to ride. The way I sold it was 18 miles downhill, guys, it's downhill from Bridal Veil Falls back to the Lehigh Front Runner station, but by that time in the afternoon the wind had switched, so we got the headwind on the way back, and it was not downhill, and then it got dark, and there were it was incredible to see that amount of the region from a bike seat in one day, and this should be celebrated, and we need to really you know, use this investment that we have and start to build on it, our east-west connections, building into this network, connections to transit, the Tiger Grant you saw. I mean, it's all very connected, and we hope that every one of us here will ride their bikes.
So just really quickly, it's really amazing. Like, obviously, our whole Washington region is connected by I-15, right, from top to bottom. As of a few years ago, our whole region is connected by Front Runner from top to bottom. And now with this, what we've dubbed the Golden Spoke, right, get it? The whole region is also connected by separated, safe bike facility. And so that's for recreation or for commuting. It's a big deal for our community. And this is now the longest dedicated, separated bike lane west of the Mississippi.
Yeah, we can say that.
Is that right, Scott? Yeah. West of the Mississippi.
Nobody's challenged us yet.
Okay. So it's a big deal. And so the idea is we have this event to celebrate it. The Lieutenant Governor has already said he's going to ride in it. Mayor Caldwell, starting from Ogden, of course. Then Mayor Curtis, now Congressman Curtis, committed to riding. And so anybody who wants to do all or even just little portions
all
of this?
Right, part of it.
Oh, there you go.
Woo. Write it down.
Mayor Silvestrini said he's going to start.
I'm riding from Mill Creek.
Mill Creek, yeah.
Down the Harley's Crossing Trail.
That's great. Yeah. How far is it from Draper?
Probably 15.
Yeah, at least.
Not too far for you.
Then I'll ride.
All right.
All right, so more to come on that. That'll be a great, fun
a challenge
event in May.
Everybody download the Strava app so we can keep track of where it's going.
So, Scott,
yes, sir.
How many flat tires on this epic ride?
There were only two. Yeah, only two, and which surprised me
on
being
the same
in.
Bike.
Yeah, in the same bike. So
talk to him offline. I don't want to drive people away.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Okay, anything else?
It'll be fun.
I'm happy to entertain a motion to adjourn to get out of here a little bit early.
So moved.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Way to go. Chair.